All righty, hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We do this segment every Monday and Friday on the show. By the way, this week, I am only here 3 days. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I am going to Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'll be back on Monday, but I have a bachelor party to go to. And Santer, the squad that I'm going with on Saturday night, we are going to one of the best Italian restaurants on the planet. And that is Piero's. So looking forward to that. Samter and I once had a very good meal along with EJ, Andrew Perloff, and Sully at Piero's. So I will be going back there all by my own, though, this time.
Bring me home a garbage salad, please.
Yeah, right. Could you imagine if I go through security at the airport with the garbage salad, which is basically a Caesar salad with some other things in it, but it's called a garbage salad, and then a veal parm? I'll bring you back the bone.
Deal.
All righty, let's get to a little onside, offside. Botcher, hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside! Defense number 69!
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb.
Alrighty, Samter, what do we got cooking today? By the way, have you seen Stu's vacation to Chicago over the weekend? He's still there.
Yeah, he's living it up.
Oh my God. Wrigley Field had one of those beers and like a baseball bat. He went to Soldier Field today. And then also he's like going to all these hot dog places and pizza places in Chicago. I'm telling you, Stu is one of the most impressive stomachs I've ever encountered. Going back to when I was in San Antonio with the Final Four with him, and he went from Pinkertons at a full tray of barbecue, and then an hour and a half, 90 minutes to 2 hours later, he was at Whataburger getting a burger order as well with fries. Listen, that dude could eat.
Listen, if Portnoy can do pizza reviews, maybe Stu should be our like everything else reviewer around the world. Oh. Every trip we go on, he can just do a hot dog review, a Whataburger review, a steak review.
It doesn't really help Stu with the allegations that are levied upon him with some of the things that Stu likes to enjoy to do that maybe would open up one's stomach to start eating like you are a pig. All right, like that's kind of what is happening here. I think Smokin' Stu is just doing so much puffity puff that he ends up going to all these food places and just can't control himself. We have to have an intervention with Stu, like in the Sopranos, where they sit down Christopher when he has the drug and alcohol problems. And we may just have to one day just go up to Stu and say, "Is everything okay with you? Just want to make sure that you're doing all right."
He has missed a lot of time surrounding these kinds of events. I'm just going to say that.
The pot calling the kettle black.
I miss time for health reasons. He misses time after 420 and hanging out with Bill Ryder and
someone
eating food while on the munchies in Chicago.
Someone came up to me in the office today. I will keep this person anonymous. Anonymous person goes, "The Zach Gelb Show, where the producers get more time off than the host. The only host in the history of radio to ever have to fight through that adversity."
I've taken one day off this year, so it was my birthday, so I think that's allowed.
No, I'm just, don't get so sensitive here.
I'm just saying.
I'm telling you what people are saying, and I can be the first one to admit it. When the summer hits, folks, almost every Friday, I'm out of here on the summer. Once we get through June, right, maybe a day or two in a Friday or two in June, but July, August, don't be expecting me to be here 5 days a week. I go on the Howard Stern method in the summer, the DA method in the summer, where it's 4 days a week and then Fridays, goodbye.
Deal, I'll be gone too.
Beach, 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 pool, 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 beach, 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 pool, pool, pool.
Bachelor party, pool, bachelor party.
I do have a lot of bachelor
You've
parties.
You've been on like 9 bachelor parties in the past like 6 months.
I got one in Vegas, and that's this week. Then in July, I have two. One's to Colorado, and then one is like somewhere in upstate New York. So,
you know what, though? It's nice to do something different. Sometimes Vegas, you can only do so many times. New Orleans.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's nice to do something different.
And I'll be on the Stu diet, by the way, in Colorado, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, Onside, offside time. What do we got?
I don't understand what you're talking about. Coors Light? Is that what you're talking about?
We'll explain it for you another day.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I'm very naive when it comes to these things.
I'll tell you when you get a little bit older, right?
Said the guy 10 years younger than me. Well, we waited with bated breath as Shador fell
anyway,
in the draft.
It's not that much of an age difference like Belichick and Jordan. Jeez.
You should want to date me? Is that what
no,
you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying our radio relationship.
All right. I just try to make sure that we're on the same page here.
Take it easy. Take it easy.
And just make sure if anyone ever asks how we first met that you're not going to like shut them out.
It was on an airplane.
We're not talking about that right now. On to Cincinnati.
I signed Sam through a book of mine. I was helping him with the research project. Oh, you can hold.
All right, well, on to Cleveland, because we waited with bated breath for Shador to get drafted, and he fell. At one point, we thought the wait was over as Shador got a call on his private NFL phone from what it sounded like the Saints.
Hello.
Hey, is this Shador?
You got that call.
Yeah,
what's going on?
This is Mickey Thomas here, the GM of the Saints.
Say it one more time for me.
This is Mickey Loomis here, GM of the Saints.
How you doing?
Good, how are you, man?
Good, been waiting on you.
Ready to go.
Yeah, we have. It's been a long wait, man.
No, for sure.
We're going to take you with our next pick right here, man.
Yeah, yes, sir. Let's be legendary.
Yeah, but you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, man.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Ready to go.
What does that mean?
What? What did he say?
I don't know.
How are you going to ask us what it means and you was on the phone?
You heard that? He said you're going to have to wait a little bit longer.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Why did he talk?
What the f***?
That's
I don't know what that was. It's 50-50. But nobody got this number, though.
The only reason I'm laughing, it's such a spot-on thing for every the other person was in the back. What do you mean? Like, you were just on the phone. How do you know if you didn't get drafted or not? That's the funny part of it. But anyway, continue with the conversation.
Well, now, as we know, the prank call was by the son of Falcons defensive coordinator and former Jets interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich. While Ulbrich's son Jax has issued an apology, the Falcons and league have chosen not to punish Ulbrich or the team. Onside, offside, the league should dock the Falcons a future draft pick for the stunt.
Don't get me wrong, and I have had a team that's got many draft picks taken away for ridiculous and unfair circumstances from fake outrage from people. But the league should dock the Falcons a future draft pick. If it's true that the son just went on dad's iPad and got the number, I'm sorry, folks. I feel terrible that this happened to Shador. Jax Ulbrich, right? He's a knucklehead. He's an idiot. You know, have a heart here. But to dock the Falcons a future draft pick for something that the defensive coordinator's son did, what are we doing? Like seriously, what are we doing? There's been a lot worse that has gone on in the National Football League than that. So the league should dock the Falcons a future draft pick for this stunt? Absolutely not. Offsides.
Offside!
What do you think they should do? Or anything at all? Nothing.
Nothing!
So, like, no punishment for the kid whatsoever. Like, he just gets away with it.
Hold, what do you expect? The NFL now needs to punish the defensive coordinator's kid's son?
It's his son.
You know, so what do you want him to do? Oh, go sit in timeout. I'm not paying your phone bill anymore. Like, what do you expect?
Coaches get in trouble all the time for the actions of their players when it's not their fault. But they, you know, Kirby's smart. All the stuff going on in Georgia, we put a him.
And what has happened to him? Nothing.
Exactly. But something shouldn't it?
No.
There has to be some accountability here.
Yes. You're a parent. Handle your son at home. The NFL doesn't need to swoop in and be like, oh, since this son was a knucklehead, we now need to take away a draft pick from the team. So then what about all these other phone calls
that happened?
Well,
because Jeff Ulbrich was a knucklehead for leaving the number out there, too.
Stop.
He should be held accountable in some way.
Stop. Everyone's just outraged and looking to punish someone and looking for this kid to, like, beg for forgiveness. The kid is an idiot. I'm not defending the kid. But the idea that we should now punish the Falcons for this kid, stop. Next question. I'm Drew Rosenhausen. Next question.
Now, the Dolphins believe
Next
Tua...
Next question.
The Dolphins believe Tua...
Next Tunga, question.
The Dolphins believe Tua Tagovailoa can be their long-term franchise quarterback.
Des Bryant doesn't. He's already saying Quinn Ewers is Marino 2.0.
Well, we'll get to that. But Tua can't stay healthy, and the team has never had a legitimate backup once he's gone down. Now, after signing draft bust Zach Wilson, my best friend, The Finns made former Texas star Quinn Ewers the last quarterback selected in the draft when they took him 231st overall in the seventh round. Onside, offside, Quinn Ewers will win the backup job and be an effective quarterback if Tua goes down.
I'm actually going to surprise some people here. I think he'll beat Zach Wilson out for the backup quarterback job. If you see Tua go down and he has to, like, I'll put a caveat in here, play like four games like last year, I think Quinn Ewers could be competent. I think he could be effective. Quinn Ewers to me is a good backup quarterback in the league. When I watched him in college, I said, that will be a backup quarterback in the NFL. So if it's asking to start the entire season, no, I don't believe he'll be great. But if it's like what happened last year, yeah, I think it could be effective. So, onsides.
Now, one of the Cowboys' biggest needs in the draft was wide receiver, but they ended up going the entire draft without selecting a single wideout. The team had teased multiple times that they were open to trading for Broncos' Cortland Sutton, but that never materialized, though Jerry says they're not done looking for a wide receiver too yet.
Definitely was a big-time thought that the train has not left the station if improvement is needed from what we've got on campus. And so we don't have to be through at receiver in any way.
Onside, offside, the Cowboys need to make a deal for a legitimate wide receiver too before the season.
Onsides, will they though? I don't think so. Like, I just saw this tweet from JPA Football. The Cowboys are interested in potentially reuniting with former wide receiver Amari Cooper per Nick Harris. While attention is still devoted to the trade market, so is the availability of veteran free agents. Intriguing options remain such as unsigned players like Keenan Allen, Nelson Aguilar, and Robert Woods. However, there is building team interest in bringing free agent Amari Cooper back for a reunion in Dallas, according to a Star Telegram source. I think you have to make a trade to go get a legit number two wide receiver because all those guys at those stage of their careers, I don't know how effective they will be and how much gas they have left in the tank. But if the Cowboys want to do anything this year, you need more firepower on that offense. So I will go onsides.
Now, everyone expected the Steelers to take Shador if he fell to them at number 21, but that did not happen. And not only did they pass on him there, they also passed on him at 83 in the third round before eventually taking Ohio State's Will Howard with the 185th overall pick in the sixth round. Onside, offside, you're okay with the Steelers waiting till the sixth round to take a quarterback if they know Rodgers is coming to Pittsburgh?
No, because you still don't have a long-term plan. And Shador Sanders, whether you love him or not, at one point was talked about being an early first-round pick. And you had two opportunities to get him after he fell out of the first round. Like, you don't want to take him the first round? Fine. But you had two other opportunities, and you failed to do so both times. I would have taken the gamble there on Shador Sanders. So I am not okay with the Steelers waiting till the sixth round to take a quarterback if they knew that Aaron Rodgers coming to Pittsburgh. So I'm going offside on that.
Offside.
Now, some have panned the Bills for a questionable draft in which they didn't take a receiver until the seventh round, despite that being a top need, and spending six of their nine picks on defense. Mel Kiper gave them a B- for their draft, and GM Billy Bean ended up snapping.
Brandon Bean.
Billy Bean's a totally different GM.
Yes.
Snapping
Wrong
at the host
sport.
Of the Jeremy and Joe show
that
on
name,
WGR.
That name came out of right field, I will say.
I know. Right field, I get it. He snapped at the host of the Jeremy and Joe show on WGR in Buffalo.
You guys were bitching in 2018 about Josh Allen. You guys wanted Josh Rosen, and now you guys are bitching that we don't have a receiver. I don't get it. A year ago, I get you guys asking why we didn't have receivers. But I don't understand it now. You just saw us lead the league in points. You just saw us do it without Stephon Diggs, same group. How is this group not better than last year's group? Like, I don't – like, our job is to score points and win games. Where do we need to get better? Defense. We did that. So I get it. You got to have a show, and you got to have something to bitch about. But bitching about wide receiver is one of the dumbest arguments I've heard.
I love it. Onside, offside, the Bills need to give Josh Allen more weapons.
Yeah, I think that's onside. Now, it does not mean that the Bills can't be a great team this year. We just saw them prove that last year. Now, the James Cook contract situation is uncertain. I like Khalil Shakir, but they have drafted guys in the first round or towards early second round with Keon Coleman. You had Dawson Knox. Those guys need to have breakout seasons this year. I'm fine with what the Bills did, but down the road, they're going to need to go get more weapons if a guy like Dawson Knox doesn't pop off. Dalton Kincaid out of Utah. Or someone like Keon Coleman doesn't reach their potential. So I'm fine with this approach now, but down the road, yeah, he'll need to have more weapons if those guys don't pop off like a Kincaid or a Keon Coleman. So I will go on sides on that.
Now, Mel Kiper was furious that Shador was dropping, so it's no surprise he gave the Browns the best grade of the draft.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
I actually loved Mel Kiper during the NFL draft. I think I am the only person that will say that. He had an opinion. This is what this guy does. And he was incredulous that the quarterbacks were dropping. Now, I do see the irony when he goes, the NFL doesn't know how to evaluate quarterbacks. And he was also someone at one point that told us Jimmy Clausen was going to be the next great quarterback. I think he went as far as saying he would retire if Jimmy Clausen doesn't pan out, something along those lines. But I thought it was very riveting television seeing Mel Kiper want to basically explode after every pick where Shador Sanders didn't go. I thought it was good. A lot of people did it. I'm in a minority, but hey, what the heck do I know?
It was the story of the draft, so you might as well have someone stumping for Shador. I loved it. Now, he gave them an A+, the only team he gave that grade to. Now, Cleveland also added Mason Graham after trading back. Carson Schwechinger, Quinshon Judkins, and Dylan Gabriel, and picked up another first-rounder from the Jags in that trade to move up for Travis Hunter. So, onside, offside, the Browns are legit playoff contenders this year after their moves this offseason.
This year?
This year.
Not like 2 years from now? 3 years from now?
You got Mason Graham, and you've got Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward on that defense to go along with potentially a reasonable offense if they can, you know, get the quarterback situation figured out.
Yeah, you got five quarterbacks there right now.
You know what they say, if you have five quarterbacks, you have one.
You have five. No. They are the worst team in that division, easily. Steelers are better. Bengals are definitely better. Ravens are definitely better. And I think they are trying to be a bottom five team in the NFL this year with two first round picks, whether it's on their own incompetence or having ammunition to move back up to go get whoever one of the top quarterbacks are in the draft next year, if not the top quarterback. So the Browns are legit playoff contender this year after their moves this offseason. They are closer to the number one overall pick than they are to making the playoffs this year. So I will go offside on that.
Offside.
Playoffs? You kidding me?
Now, do you think that they're still not as good as the Steelers if the Steelers go into the season with Mason Rudolph as their starting quarterback?
Yes, because the Steelers always find a way to slap together like 8 or 9 wins.
Yeah. They lost their running back. They'll have Mason Rudolph as the quarterback, and they'll still be better than the Browns. That's sad.
It's not tough.
No, that's a good point.
The Browns is the Browns.
While we say goodbye, finally, to the 2025 draft, one player who expected to factor in big for the 2026 draft is former quarterback Jaden Rashada. The former five-star recruit started at Florida, but transferred immediately to ASU after an NIL dispute, then left the Sun Devils for Georgia after playing just 3 games due to injury. Now, Rashada is headed to his 4th team, leaving the Bulldogs for Sacramento State. Now, Rashada's path is similar, reminds us of another top QB from that same 2023 class, Malachi Nelson.
Where is he now?
He started at USC, went to Boise State, lost the starting quarterback job, and now is heading to UTEP.
Maddox Madsen, saying goodbye to him.
Onside, offside, it's a good idea for top quarterback recruits who are not getting playing time at major programs to go to smaller schools.
Yeah, what other options do you have and you want to play? And you got the bag in those other spots. So, yeah. You got to get reps. You got to eventually play. So I go on sides on that one. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will get to winners and losers from the NFL draft that we saw over 3 days, spanning over Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, when we return after these short messages.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's do this right now. Do a little winners and losers from the draft. We'll go around the room. We'll give 2 winners each, 2 losers each. I'll start off, and it's been the biggest topic of the day. I'm going with the Cleveland Browns. And no, this is not me being like Mel Kiper, but I think they had a really good draft. And I know some people could be like, oh, well, it doesn't make sense that you take a quarterback in the 3rd round, and then you also take one in the 5th round. when Shador is there in the third round, I thought Cleveland should have taken him. He's there in the fifth round. You have to take him. So you get Mason Graham, who I had as a third best player in the draft. You got a future first round pick. You got Carson Schlesinger, a linebacker from UCLA. Quinshon Judkins, a really good running back from Ohio State. You know, Harold Fannin Jr., tight end. You pick up another tight end, too. Dylan Sampson, who they got a running back late from Tennessee. I think he's a very underrated running back. And you get Shador. So you get someone that could have been a first-round pick in the fifth round. Plus, you get Mason Graham. Plus, you get a future first-round pick. And you get two picks in the second round where you pick up a linebacker and a running back. I like what Cleveland did. Samter, who's your first winner?
I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, we talked about getting Malachi Starks. They also had that Mike Green situation. I mean, listen, we all know everything that's going on with Mike Green. He had some allegations off the field, but all those allegations were from, like, years ago. It wasn't, like, something new that came up.
Still serious allegations.
Sure, but it wasn't anything that was new, per se. It was just stuff that happened in the past that he revealed recently. So I thought that was interesting that he fell. He was a top 20 guy, and he ended up going in the second round to them. They also got Emory Jones from LSU, offensive tackle, who was a very highly rated prospect before the season started. Dropped a little bit, but still a big name. So I think what they did, considering where they were drafting, getting some big names early on in the draft really helped.
And also, talking about allegations, with all the allegations against Justin Tucker, I think it is noticeable that they did take a kicker, Tyler Loop, in the sixth round from Arizona. So I now... maybe I'm starting to think that Justin Tucker, that's the beginning of the end of his time in Baltimore. Now, there's one thing to have allegations, and there's another thing for a team to move on. When you're drafting a kicker, just because you draft a kicker in the sixth round doesn't mean he has to make the roster. But I think that kind of shows which way maybe the Baltimore Ravens are leading on the Justin Tucker front. Botcher, who's your first winner?
The Jacksonville Jaguars. The overall draft, you can look at, there's not a lot of big names. But the fact that they traded up and got their number one guy in Travis Hunter fills the wide receiver spot to go with Brian Thomas. And that's basically their number one corner now, too.
Yeah.
So that fills his two birds with one stone there. On top of that, you fill it out with the Caleb Ransaw cornerback. And seventh-round running back LaQuinn Allen, he's solid.
Yeah.
I watched a couple Syracuse games last year. He's pretty good for his spot there.
And so, Jack Kaiser's a good player from Notre Dame, too. Here's the thing. I wonder how we're talking about the Jaguars a year from now. Liam Cohen, James Gladstone, interesting characters, right? You also gave up a future first-round pick to move up to get Travis Hunter. So what is your team going to look like this year? But they have a quarterback that they paid a lot of money to, and now you got weapons with Travis Hunter, Brian Thomas Jr., Travis Etienne is still on that team. Now you got some weapons where... they better not be picking in the top 5 or 10 next year, because that means then Trevor Lawrence is just not worth it. This isn't a homer pick. It's just reality. Because I like the draft my team had. A lot of people are saying the Patriots are the winners from this draft. And they're bringing respectability back to the football field in New England. Will Campbell, say what you want with the alligator arms. He's my favorite tackle in this draft. They get him at 4. Then, not only are you protecting Drake May with your first pick, your second pick... you're going on out there, and you're drafting a running back in Travion Henderson because you need a little more extra punch to that offense. Then you get Kyle Williams, a wide receiver, out of Washington State. Then you take a center, Jared Wilson, out of Georgia. So two offensive linemen, a running back, and a wide receiver. Those are your first four picks. I'm a fan of what the Patriots ended up doing in this draft as Mike Vrabel and Elliott Whelan and Dylan Wolf try to get this team back to being just a respectable team. And I'll tell you this, with the offseason that they had too, I go into this season with the Patriots, and I'm not saying I expect them to make the playoffs, but I kind of look at them as maybe they could be a 9-win football team this year, and that would be in the mix to maybe make the postseason. I'm excited for Patriots football this year. Patriots a winner in the draft for me. Samter?
I hate to have to say this because you're going with your team. I'm going with one of my most hated teams, and that's the New York Football Giants. First, they get Abdul Carter, who many think is the best player in the draft, who's going to be just a monster on the edge there. And while you...
you really hate the Giants that much?
I mean, I'm a Jet fan, so...
yeah, Jet fan, Chief fan, you hate the Giants?
I mean, New York. I mean, like, I'm a Yankee fan, I hate the Mets. I'm a Jet fan, I hate the Giants. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So, and while I don't love Jackson Dart, they obviously liked him enough. They traded up to get their quarterback. So whether we like him or not, Daboll did. And we know that Daboll can make certain things work with his type of quarterback.
Daboll made the pick. Let's be real on that.
For sure. So at the end of the day, I mean, they got their quarterback. They got the best defensive player in the draft. Darius Alexander, with the first pick in the third round, was a top 30 ranked player who many thought would be either a first round pick in the end of the first round or even early second. They got him in the third.
Hold on. Samter's missing somebody. If Samter's praising the Giants, it has to be a tie to Samter because he wouldn't just do that on his own accord just to be a good guy. Samter likes a college football team named the Sun Devils of Arizona State. Wonder why he picked the Giants here. What else they do, Samter?
I'm so pissed. He couldn't have gone anywhere else. The best running back in the draft, Cam Scataboo from Arizona State.
Best running back in the draft. Don't be disrespectful to Ashingenti.
Ashingenti is a fine young man. Cam Scataboo is the best running back in this draft. He's going to be a future Hall of Famer. He's going to rush for 2,700 yards 3 years in a row. Cam Scataboo, no, legitimately, I think it's the second or third or maybe the fourth best running back.
Okay.
But he was way down. There was nothing that we saw on tape from him or from his workouts that would justify him falling as far as he did and being like the sixth-ranked running back. I thought he should have gone much higher. They got him in the fourth round. And then even their fifth-round pick, I can't pronounce his last name, Marcus Mbeau, he was a third, maybe fourth-round grade. They got him in the middle of the fifth round. So all of their first five picks were big picks that they got at a good time. Good value picks as well, and very good players. So
and
I think the Giants did a great job.
They got a tight end from Nebraska who's suffered a bunch of injuries, but it supposedly has an incredibly high ceiling. Could have gone back to Nebraska this year, but Matt said, I think, you know, with all the injuries, maybe you should just go to the NFL with what the potential that you have potentially to accomplish.
I like you just calling Matt.
Oh, sorry, Matt Rhule at Nebraska.
Yeah. Matt. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do we got here? Botcher.
I'm being a homer. The New York Jets, really, really great draft.
It's the Jets Super Bowl.
No.
Draft all the time.
Well, no, the offseason is
the Jets
Super Bowl.
The Jets have had a great draft, I feel like, for the last 10 years.
Oh, I don't know. Don't look to the second round. There's very, very, very few hits there.
It's because they're always drafting the top five because they suck.
They still miss.
All right, so tell me why you love this Jets draft.
If you want to go as a joke, you can look at the college football ratings. 95% of them are over 85. But just to go against Brick Johnson and Woody Johnson. Mbeau fills up the O-line. They're all under 30, young and developing.
I was like, where the heck are you going? I was like, Brick Johnson. Oh, yeah, the Madden ratings and all
that. Yeah, Mason Taylor, projected fringe first-round pick, athletic, three-year starter related to the Jets, semi. On top of that, big fan of Arian Smith. He's got speed, gets open, just can't catch the ball.
That's
on top
of that, fits right in with the Jets.
Yeah, but there's potential. And on top of that, the last three picks, they fill up the defense, get some depth pieces that they needed that they didn't have last year.
I like the pick of Malachi Moore. I thought that was a good pick for them. All righty, let's go to losers here. I'm starting off with the Steelers. It's not necessarily who they drafted. It's who they didn't draft. They needed a quarterback. They waited to the sixth round to get Will Howard, and they passed on Shedeur Sanders three separate times. I thought that was a mistake. You know, you look at Derek Carr, you look at Caleb Johnson, you look at Jack Sawyer. You know, all three needs for what the Steelers had to address. But the biggest need was quarterback. And I know Aaron Rodgers is probably coming, but that's a one-year marriage. So I thought them passing on Shedeur Sanders was a mistake. That's why I make them a loser in the draft. Samter?
I'm going to go quick here. I looked at the Atlanta Falcons. At first, I had them a winner after day one because they got Jalen Walker and James Pierce. But as I looked back deeper, what they gave up to move up to get Jalen Pierce.
Oh, you didn't like that.
Yeah,
James Pierce.
At first, I was fine with it because you get two star edge rushing players that can get to the quarterback and make plays. But they gave up a second and next year's first to move up like 20 spots for Pierce, who also has like a plenty of personality and off field issues. So what they gave up was kind of an issue. Xavier Watts in the third round, I like him, great player. I think that was a good value pick. But I think the other reason why they're a loser, this whole Jackson Jeff Ulbrich drama, it just puts the Falcons in a bad light. It was just a bad weekend overall for the Falcons. Bad PR on the trade. Bad PR on the prank call. Just a bad weekend for the Falcons.
Botcher.
I'm going with the Minnesota Vikings. They just didn't do anything that of note. Not to hate on their draft in general.
They didn't have a lot of picks.
Yeah, they had two sixths, the fifth, the third, and the first. They took Donovan Jackson from Ohio State to fill in the line because they need that. But other than that, Ty Felton, the wide receiver, you really didn't need a receiver in Minnesota. It's just with how little they had, they didn't do much with it. So I don't think it was a good draft.
All righty, my last loser here. I'm going with the Saints. So you get Kelvin Banks. I know they're not going to, you know, Penning's not going to last long for there, but I didn't think that was their first need. We talked about offensive line, but I thought they should have gotten one of the big defensive players that were still available there. Also, the quarterback you pick is Tyler Shuck, who's going to be 26 in September. I would have gone with Shador Sanders. So I didn't love the, I don't hate the player, but I thought they could have used the ninth pick in a better area. And then their second pick going with Tyler Shuck just is not good with me. So Samter, who's your loser?
This is the first non-team I'm going with. I'm going with Dillon Gabriel / Shador Sanders. The fact that both of these guys got drafted by the same team who already has two quarterbacks and a third quarterback under contract who's hurt but also still there. These are two guys who probably, Shador definitely would have been fighting for a starting job at most other places. Dillon Gabriel could have had a chance at a backup or even a starting job depending on where he went and how he played. Both of these guys are really at this point going to be battling for a third string.
Yeah, I actually think Dillon Gabriel's a winner. He was a third-round pick, and I felt like I was on an island when I said he's a top-five quarterback in this draft class, putting him in at four. I thought he was going to go maybe the fifth or sixth round at the earliest. I still think both of these guys are going to make the roster. I think Gabriel's going to make the roster. I think Shador's going to make the roster. And then you take a look at the other three quarterbacks. Deshaun's not going to be healthy enough anyway for week one, and he's never playing again. I do believe that last spot's going to come down to, and it could end up being who the starters. I shouldn't say last spot. One of those guys is going to be the odd man out between Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. So I would actually make Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett, whoever loses that job, maybe a loser from draft weekend, because we all thought they'd both be on the roster. And we haven't heard from Chris in California today, so he may be in mourning. That is a possibility. All righty, Botcher, give me the last one here.
Green Bay Packers. They took two wide receivers with two of their first three picks. Don't understand it. Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs.
They don't have a number one wide receiver.
I just don't understand it.
Packers haven't taken a wide receiver in the first round since 2002. It was a great moment from the draft. I don't know if Matthew Golden's that dude, to be clear, but I'm surprised by this. They need wide receiver help.
I just think they have so many depth receivers that
they
fill
have
out
so
that
many
roster.
Number two wide receivers.
Hey,
not
a lot of twos can equal a one.
They still may have a bunch of twos, honestly. I don't know if Matthew Golden's a one.
Their old line and their corners, they need a little bit more there. I just don't think taking two, you didn't have to take two receivers in the first three rounds.
They did take an offensive tackle from NC State, Anthony Belton, in the second round, but I had no problem with addressing offense for the Green Bay Packers because you got to get the most out of Jordan Love, the quarterback, because this is a big year for him. All righty, we'll take a break. We'll come on back. Who are the top 10 selling jerseys, highest selling jerseys from the NFL draft? There's already stats out on this. And also, there's one man when he speaks, you should never take him seriously again. And he is not named Ryan Botcher. He is not named Michael Samter. And he is not named Stu Kovacs. I will tell you who that person is when we come on back. Update time first. Here's Zach.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, it's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Chris in Alaska. Alaska. Wonder what the temperature's like there. What do you think the temperature is like in Alaska right now? Just wondering. If you had to take a guess.
Almost the summer. Let's go 56.
Oh my goodness gracious. 74 degrees today?
There you go.
Is that right?
I think it depends on where in Alaska, though. If you're like the super northern, like North Pole part of Alaska.
Oh, never mind. Sorry. I wrote Tempe in Alaska.
You got Tempe, Arizona?
Yeah, that doesn't seem... I feel like it's got to be hotter there. But 45 degrees today in Alaska. Anyway, question for Chris in Alaska. Maybe Chris in California moved to Alaska after finding out Kenny Pickett may not be that guy with the Cleveland Browns. Who will win Offensive Rookie of the Year coming off the draft? You can submit a question by tweeting at INF Sports Center, at Zach Gelb, using the hashtag AskThePros. Stick around Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm going Ashton Jeanty. Two reasons. Number one, I think he's now the face of the Raiders offense. I know they have Brock Bowers. But Brock Bowers needs to depend on Geno Smith for him to get the football. For Ashton Jeanty, all he needs is Geno Smith to just hand him off the football instead of throwing him the football.
And Geno Smith's like anywhere, what, 15th to 17th best quarterback in football. At times, it looks like he's the 12th best quarterback in football. I think it's designed for Ashton Gentry to have a monster season in year one. And also, Hickey said it's the worst pick of the first round. So therefore, we know how this works. Ashton Gentry's going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Santer, who's your Offensive Rookie of the Year?
I was going to go with somebody else, but once you told me that Hickey said that Gentry's not going to be, you know, is the worst pick, then I think I have to, you know, go with your own pick. Gentry too. Just anything anti-Hickey.
You can't give me a different one here?
No? I am going to give you a different one. I'm just joking.
Yeah.
I was just trying to troll Hickey.
I know, but you guys have like a history, you and Hickey. Yeah, I feel like there's animosity, some serious beef in the streets with the two of you.
Listen, I'm going to take the high road. It's not that we don't like each other. It's just, you know, we've never really seen eye to eye. And I respect him as a broadcaster, respect him as a producer. But, you know, we just we don't agree on how we approach life and friends and family and radio. So, you know, it's just that.
All right. What's your name?
And I'm smarter than him, better looking.
Okay, what's your name?
I'm going to go Travis Hunter. I'm going to say Travis Hunter. Ooh. What's going to happen is he's going to do enough on defense, and he's going to be really good on offense that they don't want to shut him out of the award. So they're
Could he win offensive and defensive rookie of the year, I guess?
I don't think he's going to win both. I think Abdu Carter's going to win defensive. I think that Travis Hunter's going to win offensive because they're going to have to give him something for doing both.
Gotcha. Botcher, give me a name here.
Cam Ward.
There we go. I thought that, you know, when in doubt, take the quarterback. All righty. So, Botcher, I gave you a little homework assignment here, and it was a quick homework assignment. I just saw this from ESPN Cleveland. Top 10 best-selling jerseys from the 2025 NFL draft. Do you have 10 names?
I do. I have a question first,
yes,
though. Are there non-first-round picks in here?
One.
Okay. I was...
And if you can't guess this one...
Well, I know that. I was just trying to make sure because usually they don't sell jerseys for players who aren't taken in the first round for a little bit later. So I was just trying to make sure.
Okay.
But okay. Knowing this, it's completely different.
Okay.
I think Travis Hunter still is number one.
Correct.
I think Ashton Gentry is two.
Wrong. Ashton Gentry is fourth.
Fourth. Okay. I would say Shador would be three.
Correct.
Cam Ward would probably be at two now.
Correct.
Okay, Abdul Carter.
Where do you think he is?
Well, for you, it'd be five. Five.
Seventh.
Seventh. Mm-hmm. Jackson Dart?
He is there. Just what's one better than seven?
Six.
Correct.
Okay. Will Campbell?
No.
No. Okay. Tyler Warren?
The jerseys would be too short in the arms for Will Campbell.
But, I think Tyler Warren would be there, the Penn State connection.
Ninth. There are three people you have not said yet.
Okay. Mason Graham?
No.
No, okay. Tetero McMillan?
Yes, fifth. You got to get
Golden.
Two.
Golden?
Oh, sorry. You haven't said there's then three what? Names you still haven't said. Matthew Golden, yes, eight. There's two more that you're missing.
I feel like I counted to... I got Hunter,
you got Travis
Gentry.
Hunter.
I think he's missing
Ward.
One.
No, he's missing...
I thought I missed one.
Did you say... Wait.
Gentry, Hunter, Ward, Carter, Dart... Shador, Warren, McMillan.
Oh, sorry. You said Tyler Warren?
Yeah.
Okay, you're missing one then. So you have Travis Hunter is one, Cam Ward's two, Shador Sanders three. This is their actual results. Ashton Gentry four, Tetero McMillan five, Jackson Dart six, Abdul Carter seven, Matthew Golden eight, Tyler Warren nine. Could you get me the 10th one?
Loveland.
Yes.
Okay.
He is in at 10. Not a bad job there. It's a pretty good job there,
it's
by Ryan.
It's pretty
Botcher.
Impressive that he got not only all 10 names, but most of them in order.
That's why I call him the Jimmy Neutron of Sports Talk Radio.
Nobody likes defensive players or offensive linemen.
Also, it's just like, all right, Travis Hunter does kind of count as a defensive player. Mason Graham, yeah, he does. He's a DB and a running and a wide receiver.
Nobody looks at him as like, that's my starting corner.
What are you saying?
That's my Heisman winner. That's my starting wide receiver now.
He's going to.
He's going to play both, but like in the perspective, nobody thinks he's a corner first. You see wide receiver highlights.
A lot of teams would make him a corner first than wide receiver. Just you do you. We gave you one homework assignment. We didn't give you two. Just do one. Alrighty. I teased this before the break. So Samter and I got in a pretty good debate when Myles Garrett said to one of my favorites ever, Andrew Siciliano, like, I know what the Browns' plan is at quarterback. It's enough for me to re-sign here. What plan was that, buddy? The Browns don't have a plan at quarterback. You got Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, also Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders. Oh, and you have Deshaun Watson. So what was the riveting plan that the Browns told you? And I remember Santo and I got into this, and I said, it's a bunch of bullcrap. The plan that the Browns gave him was, here's a bag of cash where it's $40 million a year. It's a big, beautiful bag of cash. And that's the only reason why Myles Garrett is staying in Cleveland. Just like how, and I'm fine with that, but Myles Garrett tells us, oh, I want, it's all about winning. No, it was all about money. That's what he told us at the Super Bowl. This is not about money. It was all about money. And then he was crazy enough to try to sell us that the Browns told him there's this big, bold plan happening in the draft or in the offseason, and now they got five quarterbacks on the roster. Watson, injured, washed up. Joe Flacco, old. Kenny Pickett, not that good. Dylan Gabriel, a third-round pick, and then Shedeur Sanders, a fifth-round pick. Now, hey, maybe they told him they were getting Shedeur. They didn't lie to him. And I think Shedeur could be very good in the league, but geez, don't sell me on this baloney. Absolute hogwash baloney jackassery that the reason why Myles Garrett stayed was because the Browns had some grand plan for him at the quarterback position.
You don't think they told him, hey, we're going to go with Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, pick an undersized quarterback in the third round and then get a slipping Shedeur with personality issues?
And you know what
he
probably said? How is it any different than what's happened in my career in Cleveland up until this point? That's what he would have said. So show me the money. Maybe that's why. Yeah, they told him the plan. He goes, all right, show me the money. Give me more money and I'll stay. Fun show today. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. Big thanks to Botcher. Big thanks to Samter. And most importantly, big thanks to each and every one of you for tuning in, listening, watching, however you do consume the radio program. Have a great night, everybody. It's the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. At Zach Gelb on Twitter and Instagram. ZACHGELB. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.